The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hello, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. for more relevant news and patient perspectives. In relapsing MS, NfL levels help in disease progression prediction. Serum levels of neurofilament light chain, or NfL, proteins found in nerve cell projections, can help in the prediction of disease progression among people with relapsing forms of multiple sclerosis, according to an analysis of data from two large phase 3 trials. The researchers said that NfL levels also can predict MRI brain lesions and brain volume loss. Overall, the findings suggest that periodic assessments of SNfL or serum NfL may help in assessing a patient's risk of further subclinical disease activity and brain tissue loss and silent progression in relapsing-remitting MS patients, the team wrote. Prognostic value of seroneurofilament light chain for disease activity and worsening in patients with relapsing multiple sclerosis results from the Phase 3 Asclepios 1 and 2 trials was published in Frontiers of Immunology. There currently is a huge need for prognostic biomarkers that can help clinicians in making predictions on which MS patients are more likely to have more severe disease progression. Such biomarkers would allow healthcare providers to identify who may require more aggressive treatment approaches over the course of their disease. NfL is a protein found in axons, the nerve cell projections that conduct electrical impulses, and is an MS biomarker. When nerve cells are damaged, NfL proteins are released into the spinal canal and blood. Levels of this biomarker in the serum, the clear liquid part of blood, are increased in MS patients. Moreover, they have been shown to be correlated with signs of disease progression in people with relapsing forms of MS. It is thus possible that measuring SNFL levels can add value as a prognostic biomarker to identify patients at higher risk for further disease activity that can assist clinicians in decision-making, the researchers wrote. To find out, the team examined data from the Asclepios 1 and 2 Phase 3 trials, both completed in 2020. The trials had compared the safety and efficacy of Kesimpta, marketed by Novartis, against Aubagio in people with relapsing remitting MS and active secondary progressive MS. Results from that trial showed that Kesimpta outperformed Aubagio at reducing relapse rates, delaying disability progression, and preventing the development of brain lesions. Kesimpta also significantly lowered serum NfL levels compared with Aubagio. Now, in a study funded by Novartis, researchers set out to determine the relationship between serum NfL levels at the study's start or baseline and signs of disease progression over 2.5 years in the trials. Participants were first categorized based on their NfL levels at baseline. Of a total of 1,746 people with serum NfL measurements taken at baseline, 870, or 49.8%, were considered to have high NfL levels, and 876, 50.2%, had low levels. Specifically, the median NfL levels were 14.23 picograms per milliliter for the high group and 6.76 picograms per milliliter in the low-risk group. Regardless of their assigned treatment in the trials, some were given Kesimpta and some Aubagio. People with high baseline NfL levels showed a greater accumulation of new and enlarging brain lesions. This was true even among those who appeared free of disease activity or with no inflammatory brain lesions at the study's start. In particular, patients on Kesimpta with high NfL levels at baseline had about 158% more lesions at year 1 and 65% more lesions at year 2, compared with patients with low NfL also assigned to that therapy. Similar values were observed for Aubagio. Those on Aubagio with high NfL showed about 69% more lesions at year 1 and approximately 46% more lesions after 2 years than those with low NfL. Similarly, Patients with high NFL in both treatment arms lost more total brain volume per year than those with low NFL levels. This difference was most pronounced in a brain region called the thalamus, which has previously been associated with MS disease progression and cognitive impairment, the researchers said. However, serum NFL levels did not significantly predict annual relapse rates or confirm disability worsening in either treatment group. That possibly was because rates of these events were already low in most patients, the team noted. Similar observations were made with regard to brain lesions, relapse rates, brain volume loss, and disability worsening in a subset of recently diagnosed and not previously treated patients. These findings suggest that NFL levels can predict a later diagnosis even early in the course of the disease. Since NFL could predict disease outcomes across both treatment groups, the results suggest, quote, that the prognosis effect of SNFL is not limited to a specific treatment, the researchers wrote. Overall, the data suggests that NFL is a promising biomarker for MS disease progression prediction and may offer significant advantages over baseline MRI measurements, according to the researchers. Specifically, NFL can be used to predict outcomes even among patients who do not yet show signs of brain lesions. The biomarker also can reflect spinal cord damage, which would be missed on a brain MRI, and may last longer than the ability to see new lesions on MRI images. Such lesions can disappear over time and be underestimated, the team noted. In conclusion, serum NFL levels are prognostic for on-study lesion formation and brain volume loss in all relapsing MS patients, but specifically also in early treatment-naive patients, the researchers wrote. This study also supports the potential prognostic value of both SNFL and certain brain lesions as predictors of high probability of clinical progression in patients with MS, they concluded. This news article was written by Lindsay Shapiro, Ph.D., on April 25, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. The MS Wire, a column by Ed Tobias, published on April 25, 2022. MS news that caught my eye last week. Bone marrow infusions, ATA188, enhanced MRIs, costs. Progressive MS trial finds repeat bone marrow infusion safe, feasible. Two bone marrow transplant studies are reported in this story. The first, a tiny trial of just 6 people, assessed the safety of this procedure, which involves harvesting cells from their bone marrow, then infusing them into the bloodstream the same day. The second, a study of about 80 people with progressive MS, is reported to be investigating the potential benefits of this procedure. While the benefits study is still underway, the safety study concludes that repeated bone marrow-derived cell therapy is feasible in patients with progressive MS. Repeat harvesting of bone marrow cells and infusing them back into the bloodstream is safe and feasible in people with active progressive multiple sclerosis, according to data from a small proof-of-concept clinical trial. Results were detailed in the study. Repeat infusion of autologous bone marrow cells in progressive multiple sclerosis, a Phase 1 extension study, SIA-MMS-2, published in Multiple Sclerosis and Related Disorders. Atara planning Phase 3 trials of ATA-181 in non-active SPMS-PPMS. The experimental treatment ATA-188 has caught the eye of people with progressive MS because it's one of the few treatments designed for them. It's also of great interest to everyone with MS because ATA-188 is believed to work by clearing Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, cells from the body. Recently, evidence has shown a significant link between EBV and MS. Destroying those cells could help lessen symptoms. Atara Biotherapeutics plans to launch 2 Phase 3 clinical trials of its investigational immunotherapy, ATA-188, in people with non-active, progressive forms of multiple sclerosis. Whether efforts for these trials will go forward, however, depends on positive results from an interim analysis of the Phase 2 portion of the EMBOLD trial, expected in the coming months. Interim findings will also inform the optimal size needed for EMBOLD, currently enrolling progressive MS patients at U.S. and Australian sites, to meet its goals. New imaging techniques may aid MS diagnosis, management. There's no single test that can pin the tail on an MS diagnosis. An MRI scan is the most common, but it's currently not conclusive. These researchers are developing MRI sequences that improve image quality enough to reveal tiny veins around which MS lesions tend to form in the brain. Overlapping those images with those from conventional MRI scans could show how many brain lesions contain that small vein that's typical of MS, helping to make a firm diagnosis sooner. The technique can be performed by standard MRI machines and is being tested in 400 people at risk of developing MS. Physician researchers at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in California are developing brain and eye imaging techniques to improve the diagnosis and management of multiple sclerosis. The disease can look very different in different people, and the path to diagnosis is equally varied. Marwa Casey, MD, an MS specialist, and an assistant professor of neurology at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, said in a press release. MS TOP program in California cuts DMT costs and MS relapse rates. This study reports that early use of highly effective disease-modifying therapies can accomplish two things: lower medication costs and lead to fewer MS relapses. Leading neurologists have been saying this for years. They believe the result of treating people with MS quickly with the most effective medication possible offset the high cost of those treatments over the long run. It seems like a win-win. Are you listening, insurance companies? A program aimed at optimizing the use of highly effective therapies successfully lowered treatment costs and relapse rates among people with multiple sclerosis in Southern California, according to a study. Our novel physician-led approach simultaneously reduced MS, DMT, or disease-modifying therapy, expenditures, and the frequency of MS relapses. We know of no other health system intervention that has reduced MS, DMT expenditures or improved outcomes, the researchers wrote. To read more columns by Ed Tobias and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.